This is URN.
So now we're going to be having a quick look at the story that kind of developed from the murder on Friday of Sir David Amos, who was the Conservative MP for Southend West. So Sir Keir Starmer at Prime Minister's Questions today is demanding urgent government action to clean out the cesspit of online extremism. So the Labour leader offered to work with the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, to track through new online safety laws. So Mr Johnson promised to get through the first stage of the long-awaited online safety bill through the Commons by Christmas. He said include criminal sanctions for those allowing foul content, but did not confirm whether that include company directors. As Labour is calling for the company directors of internet firms to be held liable for the content of messages posted on their sites. So obviously, this is followed on from the murder of Sir David Amos on Friday, and since then, a lot of MPs have been complaining about the threats they face as MPs doing their jobs. Lots of them have been sent death threats on a daily basis and also receive a torrent of online abuse. So obviously that is kind of at the forefront of people's minds when a second MP in just over 5 years was murdered on the streets of Britain. So with both of the murders of Sir David Amos and also of Joe Cox carried out by extremists, obviously with different viewpoints, is doing something like this going to, you know, improve society? Will it make members of parliament more safe, or is it going to be a threat to free speech? Where is the line?
So extremism and terrorism, they're awful and they shouldn't have a place on the internet. That's clear to everyone. But when the government starts interfering in social media and imposing what it believes to be the right viewpoints to share on social media, this can go a lot further if it's mishandled. For instance, Keir Starmer said dangerous algorithms on Facebook. Facebook does its best to censor extremism and terrorism. It auto-moderates, it bans people from extremist groups. It and Instagram and several social media sites took a stance during the Capitol riots in America to prevent violence, to prevent extremism. But how far can we trust a government with political ideology to control social media?
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult trade-off that we're having to make here between sort of free speech, as you say, and sort of a more sort of inclusive environment online and less of these horrible events that have occurred recently. But I think that ultimately the government has to get involved in some sense, because we've seen from companies like Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, obviously, that they're not really moderating to the level that we would expect, and that lots of people and lots of groups have slipped through the cracks. And I think that's mainly because the social media companies know that they control such a large proportion of the online space that they can sort of make their own rules and moderate to a level they feel is...
Yeah, so they obviously kind of think that they're, you know, not responsible. They're kind of, their platform's not publishers. So, I mean, what's your kind of response that putting, kind of levying fines against these kind of company directors would, do you think it'd make a difference? Do you think that because kind of Facebook allows extremist content, kind of fining Mark Zuckerberg individually, would that have a threat? Would he listen to, you know, such a fine? Even though, you know, he's a multimillionaire?
I mean, Facebook were forced to pay £50 million to a British watchdog company recently. So Facebook, as a company, has shown to respect laws of countries when called into question, like when Mark Zuckerberg was brought before the Senate. They have tried to obey laws as best they can. So yes, I think fines would affect the company's goals. It would force them to change, but it's not clear whether this change would be good.
Yeah, I mean, I feel personally that the effect of the fines is not actually as great as some people believe, because in the eyes of the company as a whole, £50 million is a very sort of small sum when you think of how much Facebook are making annually. But I think it's more about the sort of meaning behind the fine and the sort of idea that I think it's more of a threat from governments to these big tech companies to say, if you don't sort of keep your moderation levels high and keep things like this under control, then we may have to step in and start to make decisions ourselves. And I think that companies like Facebook want to keep control of their platforms and they don't want to give it up to national governments. So I think they will try as hard as they can to improve the situation.
I guess you kind of following on from that case, who should have the power to regulate these platforms? Obviously, you know, should it be Facebook itself, or should the government essentially have the power to kind of say what should and should not be on something like Facebook? But I guess, you know, you could argue that surely that if Facebook's saying that it doesn't want the government to control all of this, why hasn't it actually exercised its own right and banned kind of people before? Because, you know, we've heard about the situation with Donald Trump and the US Capitol riots back in January, and it's like only at that point did they actually kind of take action and suspend it. But surely they should have, you know, done something about it before then.
I would say Facebook does take lots of steps to auto-moderate its content. Like, it can only do so much. It searches for overt content, things it can see, militias, extremist groups that are clear. It's hard to find the subtle groups, the quiet groups, the private groups where people are encouraged and radicalized. They're less overt, but the overt ones Facebook does its best to get rid of. But I would say the issue with having the government dictate what can go on a website or social media because it's hate speech is hypocritical at this time when the same government doesn't recognize misogyny as hate speech and has been up for debate about what it considers terrorism and extremism. The government will always have a bias which might not need to be inflicted upon social media.
But surely Facebook also has its bias. Surely it's, you know, all right that, you know, Mark Zuckerberg has his, you know, political viewpoints and they're fairly towards the kind of, you know, socially liberal. Surely we kind of be in a different situation if, you know, Mark Zuckerberg was a raging conservative.
I mean, I definitely think that that's a point that can be made, but I think also you have to look at kind of what is Facebook's and other social media companies' ultimate goal. Their goal is to attract more users and to increase the size of their platform. And I think that they're, in recent times, they've tried to show that they're willing to sort of ban people and moderate people. But I think that they're kind of hesitant to do it on a mass scale that would have a big impact, because they know that lots of extremists and sort of extremist groups use their platforms. And if they were to start banning people left, right and centre, or having higher levels of moderation, they might start to make people feel like they can't say certain things and start to sort of put pressure on people to, like, to restrict what they can and can't say. And I feel like if you're going to argue that social media is kind of the new soapbox of society, you need to let people say what they want to say, in a sense.
But I guess, I mean, in that case, I'm kind of moving on towards kind of the situation around MPs. Do you think that kind of public debate, kind of in addition to kind of what everything happens on social media, do you think that has kind of coarsened? And do you think MPs, you know, are kind of fearing for their lives? What is all that about?
Well, yeah, it's true. MPs are starting to fear for their lives. One MP was quoted to say they wanted bulletproof glass between them and their constituents the next time they did a surgical meeting. And these MPs are right to be afraid. It's been clear over the last few years no one is safe. There are extremists on every side, and these people are vulnerable. They hold open meetings with strangers with no proper security checks at the door. We don't know who these strangers are. They could be radicalized, they could be dangerous, or they could just be common people. So yes, these MPs have grounds to be afraid, and they need increased security. But to put the blame entirely on social media apps like Facebook, I think, is undercutting the situation.
Thomas?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly reasons to feel sympathetic towards politicians in terms of the fact that they are public figures, and they are, in a sense, putting their lives on the line to a certain degree by being MPs and meeting and, like, going to Parliament and voicing their opinions in the Commons. And they could certainly risk receiving, you know, threats online or even threats in person. And we've seen kind of how certain politicians will get a lot of attention if they voice a particularly controversial opinion. And I think that, I don't think that all the blame is resting on social media companies. I also think that as a country, we have become more divided, and there is more kind of discourse between the public and politicians than there was previously.
So I guess there's it's on all of us to kind of clear up our act and kind of clear up politics for the good, so more people don't end up dying because of the public office they hold. So obviously the bill has been debated for quite a while now, and the Prime Minister now hopes it can get through the House of Commons by Christmas. Obviously that remains to be seen, and whether the Labour and Conservative parties will be working together to pass the kind of the laws that people want to see.
This is URN.